Hey there, and welcome to the Confident Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Brooks. Join me as I sit down and chat with co-hosts, friends, and carefully curated guests and talk about all the things that empower you to become your best and most confident self. So let's get started. All right, ladies, welcome back. So today we have a mentee by Story Brands, Donald Miller, Chris Jones. Chris has cracked the code on turning expertise into sales. After 20 years of crafting stories for giants like Nike and Adidas, she discovered something shocking. A single, well-told story can replace all your marketing and double your revenue, proving that you don't need endless content or complicated funnels to attract premium clients, just one story told very well. So welcome, Chris.
Well, thank you, Rachel. I am thrilled to be here today, and I'm excited for another great conversation about story. I love talking about story. I have been in marketing for 23 years now, so I've been doing this work a long time. I started as a visual storyteller, so I was essentially a branding expert, a designer. I did logos and brand designs. I also did a lot of website design. And over the years, what I found was the websites that I was designing for my clients weren't as effective as they had been before. And what had happened is the landscape online had shifted. And so markets were getting more saturated. In the early days, like having a beautiful website was all you need in order to be a legitimate business. But eventually, that just wasn't enough. You needed to be able to tell a great story and have a beautiful website. So this all came about working with a particular client named Elise, and she had a background in publishing. She was comfortable writing. She was a great storyteller. And so when she hired me to design her website, she was going to create all the copy for her website. And so I said, okay, give it to me, and then I'll be able to do the design, and then we'll launch the website on time. And so the morning of, I get a call from her telling me that she was so frustrated. She'd been working so hard on writing her copy. The more she worked, the worse it got. She was beside herself. She was like, I need help. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why I can't write this. And unfortunately, that was a really tough conversation to have because I was very comfortable with the visual storytelling, but I couldn't really help her with the written part of it, meaning I couldn't do it for her. So we brainstormed some ideas. She was going to talk to some previous clients of hers and get some ideas. She hired a couple of copywriters. She did a bunch of different things, but ultimately it didn't work because she didn't feel comfortable. Like when she tried to outsource her own voice to somebody else, it just didn't feel quite right. So it was really tricky. It's like, what do business owners do if they're too close to their own business, meaning they're like inside the bottle trying to read the label that can only be read from outside the bottle? That's what it's like to try and write for your own business. We're all just too close to our own business to see it clearly. So what do you do when you can't effectively write for your own business, but you can't outsource your voice and you can't hire it out to somebody else because you are the business and it doesn't really feel aligned and it doesn't feel like you? And there's good reason for that. Like you literally can't outsource your own voice. So at that point, I just made it my mission. I'm never letting another client go through this again. And she was not my only client navigating this kind of struggle. This was back in 2016. I delved deep into story. I traveled across the country to workshops. I became one of the very first story brand coaches prior to the book Building a Story Brand ever coming out. I was lucky enough to be mentored by Donald Miller. I immersed myself into it to the point where I could really confidently began to integrate story into everything that I did. I integrated it into my own business and watched essentially overnight things really begin to shift for my own business. But better than that, I watched the same thing happen for my own clients. Clients were calling me, telling me, I'm charging 6 times more for the exact same service. I was about to shut down the doors of my business. Now it's thriving. I'm getting a record number of lead calls booked every month. Just really tangible results. I had one client call me and say, I dreaded sales calls, and now I use my story in my sales calls. And for every 10 calls I have, I book 9 new clients. It has that dramatic of a shift. Like you and I had talked about prior to hitting record, our brains are really wired for story. When we tell a story, whether it's in business or outside of business, our brains cannot help but engage. It really serves you to use story in your business and in your life if you want to engage people. And not only that, stories are 22 times more memorable than just facts alone. So if you go to a workshop or you go to a lecture, you're going to forget most of the information, but the next day, the thing that you're going to recall is the story that the person shared about their life. That's why I love it so much. It's timeless. Story is just part of how we're wired, and we gathered around the fireside from the beginning of time as humans and shared stories and told stories and learned from stories and connected through stories. And so that's my passion. That's what I love to do more than anything else. Showing up with the perspective as a storyteller, but also as a businesswoman, to look at your business with fresh eyes and really identify the brilliance that is within you. What is the golden thread of your story, and how can I write your story with you and collaborate with you on it so it feels very aligned with your voice, but you don't have to do the heavy lifting of writing it?
Everything that you're saying, I can definitely relate to. And I'm getting these like feel good vibes over here, because it's like, you know, from my perspective, being on both sides of things, as yes, I have written an award-winning book and there's so much story. And so that was the storytelling component to my book. And so when you're talking about this previous client of yours, where she just really struggled with writing her own story, oh my goodness, how much I can relate to that. Because it's like, even at the time when I was writing my book, I just had that freedom to dump it all, to write it out, right? And we could clean up and edit later. And there was no pretenses to it other than, you know, just get the story out, because getting the story out is the number one important thing. I think that for me personally, I was too hung up and perfected on editing grammatical errors here and there, to does the content and context flow, and just got really hung up in the editing process itself. So as I was writing this book, I was working with a coach at the time, and she had just said, again, get the story out. We'll clean that up later. So I know how close it is when you're in the works and say you're, for example, a personal brand, or you're the voice of that brand, whatever that is. It's so important to have that inside, you know, view and perspective and a way to articulate your story. But not everybody knows all the intricacies and the details of that story. So to your point, you can't necessarily outsource that, because nobody knows you like you.
Right. You're in a jam and you need someone to help you get out of that jam. And that's what I love to do.
Right. And I love your analogy when you said you can't read the label from inside the bottle, because when I'm in that bottle, I want to tell everybody about the nutritions and the facts and the warnings and this and that and what's on it. And it's like, whoa, that's so much. And so when you are that voice, it's sometimes you have to take that step back, and not just from your voice, but the perspective of your ideal client or customer, because now it'll give you that vantage point of what do they need? Why are they coming to you? What is it that they're looking for? And so now you can finesse the story to fit what they need and want. So to your point, this is spot on. And I am going to 100% agree with the power of story and storytelling. So you, I know that's your jam, and I know especially with marketing, so we'll get into that a little bit later. But I love where this conversation is going to go, because when we look at the power of stories, to Chris's point, 22% people remember the stories told versus the text alone. Mm-hmm. So that is pivotal. If you have ever bought something in your entire life, you don't just buy because you love the brand or something about that. That is an important factor. But to retell a story, that's the thing that's going to stick with you forever after you've already purchased.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, even as simple as buying a product on Amazon, you don't look at the product and look at the picture and buy it. You look at the, you find the product and then you read the reviews. And those are really micro stories about the product. And that's the thing that motivates you to take the next step. We want to be able to tell our stories in a way that meets our potential clients where they are. They don't want to be inundated with information. If they wanted to be inundated with information, they would Google it. But they're looking to you to solve a problem for them. And the beautiful thing about story is that it's really a wonderful filtration device, meaning it filters out the noise and it keeps all the clarity. And so it allows you to truly connect with a potential client or a potential customer and meet them where they are, show them that you care about what they care about and that they matter, that they're the central character in your story, and that you're not the hero of your own story. That's what we don't want to do.
Right. And I know in your experience, you've worked with some really top brands out there and names that, household brands and names that we're all familiar with. And so I want to briefly tangent here for a moment, because one of the things that you had mentioned had brought up this is when you buy from a brand, again, we have that know, like, and trustability. And then when you buy from a personal brand, I'd love to hear your take on that, because we all see these big brands out there. Every influencer is selling this, that, and the other thing. We're all sponsored, blah, blah, blah. But then how do you distinguish yourself as from a big box brand to personal? Because we talk about the story. The story is powerful and important. But yes. Do you feel that there's some sort of edge that we as personal brands could leverage and distinguish ourselves out from that noise of the bigger brands?
Mm-hmm. I think that bigger brands have bigger budgets and they can do things like come up with a tagline, like just do it, and make that work because they have millions and millions of dollars behind it. What happens with personal brands is they want to come up with phrases like that, like enlighten and lift, or, you know, just like these beautiful, short, concise statements that one would probably call like a tagline, but they don't effectively communicate anything. When you have a smaller budget and you're a personal brand, it's much more important that you have clear and simple words that actually communicate what it is that you do and the transformation that you provide for your clients, the problem that you solve. What is the problem that you solve? Business owners often solve a handful of problems for our clients, but what's the one thing that you really want to be known for? And that's really what I would say we can do as inspiration from bigger brands. It's like, how can you be the one thing? What's your one thing? Nike is fitness and running. What's your one thing that you want to be known for? And then just start talking about that a lot.
I kind of second that too, because it's a lot of what is reiterated into the marketing and the personal branding space. And I know when I was working with a couple of my clients too, they were asking the same question. It's like, but how do I compete? How do I differentiate myself from these gurus or these guides that are out there, especially with personal branding? You're not essentially competing because you're just carving out your own path. You are your own. And so how do we double down on who we are and ignore that noise from the others that are blaring so loudly in the background? Mm-hmm. Even just other consumers are just advocating for that brand or that person. So mm-hmm. to your point with the storytelling, and I love the effectiveness of that storytelling, because again, people aren't necessarily buying from the product itself with a personal brand, because you can have a course that's very similar to the next person with the same bells and whistles, benefits, all those things. But why you buy from person A or person B is because of the relatability. You want to know that they've gone in a path similar to you. They've walked in a similar array. And how could they be the guide for you? So I'd love to hear.
People don't buy from the best. They don't buy from the most qualified. They buy from the person they feel the most connected with. And story is the best way to really cultivate that connection and that trust. A lot of my clients come to me with that same challenge, and they're like, I just look like everybody else. How do I stand out? And the answer is, you just get really clear on you, what makes you unique, and how do you have your own unique way of doing this? Most people look to other websites in their industry for inspiration, and they think, oh, they're, you know, my competitor is doing this, I should do that too. This other website, they're doing this, I should do that too. And what happens is there's like a general look and feel and language in your industry. It's really impossible to stand out. I say, don't look at your competitors for inspiration. I get why people do that, but that's not going to lead you to the most pure, clear, dynamic expression of who you are. And we really want your website to be an extension of you, a reflection of you, aligned with you. We want people, when they come to your website, to really feel like they've met you before you've even gotten on a Zoom call with them.
I agree. And that was something I know for me personally on the consumer side, is that I want to know that somebody had gone through something similar I've gone through, because I can go with that top guru because they're the most liked or the followed or whatever it is that would say that they're essentially, quote unquote, more qualified than I. I'm looking for somebody who can get me to the next point in my journey. I want to know somebody has personally gone through a very similar, if not same, and that experience speaks volumes, because as they're sharing it, it's providing that hope and encouragement to know that, one, I'm not alone, two, that if they can do it, I can do it. And I think that sounds all pretty cliche and things like that. It's like, oh, you go, girl. If you did it, I can do it. I'm inspired by it, which is true and important, but it's something that we sometimes overlook because we don't have the gigantic following or the gigantic budget or the the people, the team, whatever that is, that we're now using as some sort of excuse to back that up. But I think to your point, again, you want to seek out somebody who has gone through something similar because their story is relatable. If they can overcome it, they're going to share tips, tools, strategies, wisdom, insight, all those things that's going to get you from A to B. And then maybe that same person might not be the person to get you from B to C, but you know that you've walked a similar path. What are some of the tips and takeaways that you would share with our listeners so they can start applying these changes into their, and watching the difference be made in their content?
Well, the number one thing I would say is, you know, the story that you tell that's going to get you clients isn't necessarily your quote unquote founder's story. It's a narrative that we'll craft that will invite your potential clients into a story with you, a story where they are the central character. They are the hero of this story. You are the guide in the story. So you are the strongest character in that story. And your single purpose is to really help that hero overcome their problem and find success. So it's a different type of story than what a lot of people think of when they think about, like, how I got into this business or what was my upbringing. It's really an intentional narrative that invites both your clients and you into the narrative as key characters. So the first thing I would say is to start thinking of yourself as the guide. You're the Yoda, you're the Mr. Miyagi, and your clients as the hero. And I have a freebie that will walk you through this. It's called How to Write Compelling Copy in 5 Minutes Flat. It's a 5-minute video and a worksheet that will literally show you exactly how to do this for your own business. And it'll help you get all those thoughts and ideas out of your head onto a Google Doc and organize them in a way that will shift the lens in which you look at your business So you really can step into this narrative as the guide and position your clients as the hero. The other thing that I think is really important and often not done well is testimonials. Testimonials are proof that you've solved this problem for other people. And so it's essential that you have testimonials that speak to that. So often I go on websites and they have testimonials, which is good, but they're very long, or they're in a tiny font and I can't read them, or they're on a slider, which I get halfway through and then the slider moves. It's a very frustrating experience, and you might as well have no testimonials if that's going to be the case. So I really encourage my clients to edit down, or I actually do this for my clients. I edit down the testimonial so it tells the story. It starts with the hero's problem and ends with the hero's success. And showing that transformation in the testimonial trims it down to about 2 or 3 sentences total. And that's all people will ever read anyway. Like, they barely read websites anymore. They're on their phones. They're going through them very, very quickly. And so we have to write them in a way that our brains can digest those, that the essential information that they need to know in order to want to work with us. But we have to do it in these little bite-sized chunks in order for that information to even get read. So having proof on your website, one of the most important things that you can do, proof that you can solve the problem that you solve and that you've solved it for other people before. Testimonials are key. I have a template that I give my clients that allows them to gather testimonials that really sell for them. When we ask our clients for testimonials, it's kind of a big ask. They usually love us and they want to give us a testimonial, but they don't know what to say. And then they kind of like blurt out something and it might be effective, it might not. It's usually a little bit too long. So I have a template that my clients use to gather these testimonials. And so it's 4 questions that we ask them to really pull that story out from the client, and then you stitch together their answers and it becomes this beautiful narrative and a really powerful testimonial.
I love that. Any ways that you can provide tips and tools and templates and all the things, right? Just to make things easier. And, you know, even again, from a consumer side, we definitely want to take note of shortening and getting to the point, our copy that converts. And that's what Chris does. She has a template and a freebie that helps you create that compelling copy that converts. But also, once you convert that copy into a sale, having those testimonials to support. So when somebody is coming to your website, they can skim right through it and go right to the testimonials and read right to the point. Very similar to how everyone in the world knows how Amazon works. That's essentially becoming the model, is it not? Like, we click, yeah. We scroll, we say yay or nay, and then we buy.
Right. So
I'd love to hear, you know, you mentioned something about how the market is changing with marketing and we are bombarded. We have to be shown something X number of times. And I feel like that old X number of times, which would have been like even 1 or 2 years ago, has now increased. And so when you talk about writing website copy, what are some of those tips or ways to stay clear of, so you're not adding that into your website that might trip somebody up and be like, okay, that's 1 scroll too long, I'm out.
You know, people don't mind scrolling on their phones so much, so I'm not against having a longer format page. But what people will not do on their phones, or they do but not very often, is to go to a secondary page. So if you're requiring them to go to multiple pages, let's just say you have a homepage, and then you have a services page, and then you have a testimonials page, and then you have a contact page. Like, people won't go to typically more than 1 page. So if it's not on your homepage, it's likely going to get missed. You don't want to silo away your testimonials on their own testimonials page. You want to integrate it into the homepage. I integrate essentially an entire website onto my homepage. That way, when people land on the homepage, they have all the sections that would often be on secondary pages. Like I have the about section on my homepage. I have the services section on my homepage. I have testimonials on my homepage. And so this motion of scrolling like this is very natural. It's very easy. But the menu in the upper right hand corner, clicking on that, the drop down and going to a secondary page is kind of clunky. And often people just don't have the patience. There are a lot of different ways to really make sure that people can absorb the information. They do need to see or read something at least 8 times in order to remember it. You don't necessarily have to repeat yourself over and over again, but just know if they read it 1 time, it might not be retained. And so it's great to kind of like a great Beatles song repeats the chorus multiple times. We want to kind of do that on your page too. Say it maybe in a little bit of a different way, but really touch on all those story components and keep things very short and concise. So people will not read long paragraphs of copy, period. They will read short little, it's almost like little sound bites. Little nuggets of information that will get digested. If you pair an important piece of information with an icon, that icon tells the brain, oh, this is important information. I should stop and read this. So there are all kinds of tricks that you can do, but the homework I would give your listeners is to go to your website and then cut it, trim out about 50%. And that's a good rule of thumb. Just cut it in half and it will likely be much more effective for you.
Wow. That's great. A lot of great tips there. It's funny you said cut it by 50%. You're like, wow.
Yeah.
And what I think even for me as a consumer, I started thinking about this a couple of years ago too, is because I just know how my behavior is on my phone. Or even on a website, I'll be honest, I don't go to open my laptop to pull up a website. It's going to be on my phone. And if it's some things that you're like, I think we all are like, okay, that's a phone thing and that's a computer thing. Like we just need a bigger space, more mobility, right?
Right, right.
I'm going to have to open that on my laptop. But everyone has their phone in their hand. So that's like whatever percentage. It's like, I think we're all glued to our phone at some point in a day. Where if you're scrolling, and we're in that habit because we're so used to social media, and then when we're on a website, we're just scrolling and didn't find what I was looking for. And to your point, Chris, you're out. You're like, okay, that took too long. How many pages do I have to search for? I didn't know I was going on a scavenger hunt. So, right, it is. That's why you came to this website for that thing, but where is that thing, right? So we see the different marketing tactics, especially when it comes to like our website, then our email, then our social media. And then even longer forms of content, for example, even this podcast. But when it comes to writing and creating that copy and the content, you have to think about that user and their behavior on each different platform. So to your point with a website, we're always holding our phones. One of the things that I notice is like, why can't we just have everything all up front? We're busy, ambitious, go-getting women. We don't have time to search and scroll. And again, that scavenger hunt. So I'm seeing now a change in this market where so many of these platforms are, I'll use social media, for example. It's that link in bio, which we don't technically say anymore in our social media, whatever reason. I don't know. I'm okay with it. Like if you said, click the link in the bio, I'm going to assume that link in your bio is the direct link of where I need to go. That's where we can get lost. Mm. So when we go on that one link, to Chris's point, now you're on a website or some additional out link, you're scrolling. And if you could have everything on one page, almost like a one pager or a menu board says, this is who I am. This is what I do. This is how I help. And here is how I can get you there. Here are my services, products, or offers.
Yeah.
Is that where you're seeing the market trend change?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, what a gift, right? When you come across someone that you like and you navigate to their website, if you can just scroll down the page and get all the information you need without going on a scavenger hunt, what a gift that they are serious enough about their business to do the heavy lifting to really think through the information you are going to need in order to confidently make a decision. It shows that they value their own business, that they take their work seriously, and that they care about you to think through how it's going to feel for you to go through the website as well. So I always encourage my clients to essentially, we pretend like they don't have any other pages. We make the homepage do all the heavy lifting for them, meaning everything's on there that anybody would need in order to want to book a call with you. It's like a first 5-minute coffee date. We just need to create enough interest and intrigue, trust, and connection for them to get excited about getting on a call with you. They're likely not going to go to those other pages. So we just put all that important information on one page. It doesn't mean you have to take down your other pages, but just know the more pages that you have, every additional page is kind of like a hurdle between them landing on your website and them booking a call with you. And so if you can eliminate those hurdles, you don't want your blog page to be up in the upper navigation, because the worst thing that could happen, even if your blog is beautifully written, is they click on that blog page, they delve into a post and they love it. And they're like, oh, I'm going to come back to this when I have more brain capacity to digest this information. And then they never come back, or they get their brains get filled up with information and then they get decision fatigue and they don't take action. So I'm not saying blogs are bad. I just think they belong in the footer of the website rather than that upper navigation. The upper navigation needs to be streamlined from them landing on your page to booking a call and removing all those barriers between that.
Yeah, I'm actually going to second that. And to your point, it's like you essentially want to have everything as a one-stop shop, right? You got all the efforts to put out the content to interest a person enough to say, you know what? I'm curious. I'm going to click. And that's like the bite on the bait. And you want to keep them there as long as possible. But if you're giving them little nibbles and they're just going to swim off and go find something else that's of interest. So I love how you brought that together, because I think it's such an important point, especially as we're looking to grow or even scale our businesses. We have to make these little changes because the market's always adjusting. A couple questions here, just a few pointers that you can leave our listeners that are evergreen and something that you kind of see on the trend on deck that's changing. And would you advise on going that direction or keeping things evergreen?
What do you mean by evergreen versus what?
The ongoing trend. So like what we're seeing with the marketing, for example, if we went back even a few years, everything in, we'll just say, for example, social media, pointing to that link in the bio, where now things are drop a keyword to trigger.
And then you'll get that link.
So this is a trend because people are starting to change their content. But there'll be a new device or tool in the next couple of years. Change it out.
Yeah, I mean, I think social media is wonderful and it can be a wonderful addition to your marketing tools. I'm not really a social media strategist and I honestly don't keep up with the trends and changes in there. I turned my Instagram into a powerful sales page. I put 15 posts on there and I haven't posted in a year because I have all the posts that communicate what I need to communicate on there. So I think the reason that I love stories so much is because it truly is timeless. It's, you know, there's always going to be a marketing fad or a new thing to try. And often those are related to social media. Everybody needs a website, and your website has the potential to really be your top salesperson if you take the time to invest in your website. And the beauty is you invest in your website, you set it up to sell for you, and then you can confidently just send people to the website. I really like to think of your website as the center of your marketing universe. So it is the sun in your universe of your business. And then your marketing activities that you do are like the planets that surround the sun. I really recommend my clients to not feel like they need to be everywhere doing everything. Do less, but more effective. So for example, one planet might be podcast guesting. One planet might be posting on social media. One planet might be email marketing. One planet might be networking events or presentations. Pick two planets at the most. My two planets that I've picked are podcasting and email marketing. I enjoy doing those things. Those things don't feel like perpetual homework to me the way that social media feels like that hamster wheel of homework that never ends. Those activities to me are very life-giving and energizing, and I look forward to those things. Most people have one or two things that they really enjoy. Some people really love doing social media, and that's great. Then that's one of your planets. But the idea is, whichever planets that you pick, the number one thing you do on that planet is point people back to your website, knowing that your website's going to do that heavy lifting for you. So it just streamlines the whole marketing process and simplifies it. And you've got tools that are really, truly working for you on autopilot. You set them up once and then it will work for you for months and months and years.
I'm so glad that you said that. I'm so glad you talked about the website and the sun and all the things, because everything else just becomes a spoke of the wheel. It's just a channel to get to where you need to be. To your point, having that website and the copy and the sun, that becomes that evergreen where everything else revolves around it. So I love that you touched upon that, because that basically, oh my gosh, it's like kind of gave me that peace of mind. I'm like, cool. So that's kind of where I was leading to. So those that are listening are thinking, oh my gosh, I gotta be everywhere in all the places and it's never ending. And you don't have the bandwidth to create the copy or the content or the email or the follow-up or this. And that's when we say, like, especially with marketing, that email list is your king, because our social media platforms are rented. They're not ours. E-commerce or something starting on Amazon, right? Those are Amazon customers. These are social media customers. So how do we get people from social media to come to your website to read and not get lost and have everything they need on one page and sales copy that converts? And this is what you are the expert in. And so it's like, to your point, if you're chasing that hamster wheel of always being on social media, where you have to post 2 to 3 times per day, taking Chris's advice here, it's like there's no point to doing that, because all the content is already created. You're pointing them to one place. You list everything you have to offer. Why do you constantly have to keep putting out content? That's a great caveat and a question here, but I do want to also sprinkle in that sometimes posting is for the relevancy and the algorithm to keep you current in some of the things that if you have a new product or a launch or something out, that's important. But having that website that has clear, compelling copy that converts, this is where Chris Jones is the person. Oh my gosh. Incredible templates and framework. You have been working with Donald Miller from the Story Brand. And I probably should ask this at the beginning. Can you tell our listeners what is the Story Brand? Because maybe they're not familiar with that book and the process.
Yes, absolutely. So Building a Story Brand is a book written by Donald Miller. He wrote it in 2017, and he just came out with a new version of the book called Story Brand 2.0. The framework that he uses, he really in the book will help you understand storytelling. And so the fundamental components of the framework are: a character or a hero has a problem they don't know how to solve. They meet a guide who gives them a plan that calls them to action that results in success and helps them avoid failure. Those are the components, and that's the recipe for any story ever told, any movie you've ever been to, any book you've ever read. It all follows that formula, and Donald Miller has helped us understand how to use story in our marketing. His approach has really simplified things in that way. My book, which is called From Click to Client, helps you take your story and apply it to your website. So it's really all about how to create a story-driven, simple, and clear website.
Thank you for explaining that. I personally knew what it was, so I did not even think that. I was like, oh, I know, because they've been in this space for so long. As you said, with your book is out, and you have this beautiful book that helps reiterate and take you further into creating that clear, compelling copy. And so again, your book is titled From Click to Client. And tell us a little bit more about that book and how they can find it. Because if you're not sold yet on what Chris is saying here, the power behind storytelling and how it can catapult your brand and your business to that next level and reduce all the constant creation of content and wondering why things are sticky, why things aren't, what needs to be changed. It all comes back to this through line of you and the storytelling. So I'd love for you to share a little bit more about your book and all the details.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's really fun to talk about all this, but it's really helpful to actually see it tangibly working in the real world. So if you want to see what story looks like on a website, go to my website. My website is the center of my marketing universe. I send everybody and everything there. So go to reddoorstories.com and you'll be able to look at how I've used story to communicate what I do on my page. The other thing that I think would be helpful to check out is my Instagram. I showed you how I've used 15 posts on my Instagram and then taken a year off of Instagram. I do still post to Reels when I have a podcast or something that I want to share, but my fundamental grid stays the way it is because it's set up to sell like a sales page. The book can be found at my website, reddoorstories.com, and you'll see the tab at the top that says buy the book. The book is called From Click to Client, How to Easily Create a Story-Driven Website That Turns Visitors into Clients. So it'll allow you to attract your ideal clients. It's going to help you simplify your marketing, and it will help you command premium rates. Also on the website, you're going to click on a link on the upper navigation. It says Secret Resources. And I have that guide for you as well, how to write compelling copy in 5 minutes flat. I don't want to overwhelm your listeners, but I have a lot of really great resources that will help you for free really learn and integrate these tools and approaches into your own business. And trust me, once you put the lens of story on, you'll never look at your business the same way again. Also in the secret resources section is a brand new private podcast. So it's a 9-episode podcast all about story. And it depends like how you like to digest information. I really love listening to podcasts. So that's why I created this. And it's free for you guys.
Well, that's amazing. So yes, tons of resources, tons of cool stuff, but she is not here to overwhelm you. She's here to just really to simplify things and the processes. So definitely worth checking out and go to her website, take advantage of all the freebies that Chris is offering today. And if today's episode relates and resonates with you, be sure to reach out to Chris and let her know. But more importantly, if you implement these changes that she's teaching, definitely let her know because this is what she does. And she's, you know, if you can make these slight changes and watch your business and brand transform, my goodness, a compliment goes a long way. So again, everything will be included in the show notes below. So thank you, Chris. And if there's anything that you would just want to leave our listeners with that we haven't already talked about, just love for you to share that and close us out.
Oh, I think one of the things that came up in our conversation that just really lights me up is this idea of, you know, when you're self-employed, you don't have to be doing everything. And if it feels like drudgery, you are the boss. Don't do the things that feel like drudgery. Really lean into the things that feel fun for you and feel light for you and that you enjoy. And I guarantee those are going to be the things that are going to create the most abundance for you. So I just want to remind everybody of that because we look around, especially on social media and in the culture of business ownership, there's this assumption that you just have to be doing everything. And it's just not true.
I mean, I think we've all been in an experience, a season of burnout at some point. And so when you're trying to be the planets and the sun and revolve around each other, you can't do it all. And so sometimes it's about giving yourself permission to just let that stuff go. Put the heavy stuff down if it's taken up so much of your time and bandwidth and capacity. Maybe it's not a forever, but it's just a pause. And mm-hmm. So you have to think strategically and going back to what it is and who you are, but more importantly, what still lights you up today so you can constantly sustain and create the content that provides the value that starts with you. So wonderful conversation today. Thank you, Chris, for being our guest. And I'm super excited for our listeners to take advantage of all the goodness that you have to offer.
If today's conversation resonated with you and you're ready to step into your most confident self, make sure to grab your free confidence blueprint. The first step to stop chasing, start aligning, and create a life and business you love. Grab yourself a copy by clicking on the link in the show notes below.
Hey there, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of the Confident Woman Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did, please be sure to like, subscribe, and leave us a review. Thanks again for listening.